You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. I want to continue in James. I'm in chapter 3 this morning, beginning at verse 1, going through verse 12. I believe there's a version of it in your bulletin, although probably not the New American Standard Bible version that I'm using. But I think you'll get the gist of it if you want to follow along. This is what James writes. The title of this passage is, "The tongue is a fire." Do not become teachers in large numbers, my brothers and sisters, since you know that we who are teachers will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to rein in the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their whole body as well. Look at the ships, too. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are nevertheless directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot determines. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our body's parts as that which defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one among mankind can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Does a spring send out the same opening, from the same opening, both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olives? Or a vine bear figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. So as we let these words from James sink into us this morning, we come to the realization that restraining the tongue is a difficult endeavor. As fallible humans in our fallen human condition, holding one's tongue, restraining oneself from spewing unkind, thoughtless words can often be hard, if not impossible for us to do. You know, my standby illustration is just drive in Houston traffic. You'll see exactly what I mean. Or, in this season, just turn on the national political conventions and see if you can hold your tongue. Angela will tell you that I cannot. The tongue is hard to tame. We tend to engage it before we engage the thinking part of our brains in many cases. And James gives us some good insight here in this passage on the subject of restraining the unbridled tongue. He puts it in the context of teachers. Now, if you're not a teacher, don't think that this advice doesn't apply to you, because as Christians, we are all ministers of the faith. We are all proclaimers of the gospel. We are all makers of disciples. So in a very real sense, we are all teachers to a certain degree. And as such, we are responsible for the words that pour from our lips. James tells us, don't be in a rush to become a teacher. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held to the strictest standards. And none of us, as a human, is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong most of the time when we open our mouths without engaging our brain. James says, if you can find someone whose speech was perfectly true all the time, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of their life. But that's not reality in this fallen, broken world in which we live. He compares it to putting a bit in the mouth of a horse. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the entire horse. He compares it to the small rudder on a huge ship. In the hands of a skilled captain, it sets a true course in the face of the strongest winds. But a word out of your mouth may seem to be small, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy everything. It only takes a spark, remember, to set a forest ablaze. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do the same thing to a relationship, to a life. Our speech, we can ruin the world, or at least someone's world. We can turn harmony into chaos. We can throw mud on a reputation. We can send the whole world up in smoke and go in smoke right along with it. And James says that smoke is smoke from the pit of hell. Those are strong words. This is a scary thought, that you can tame a wild beast. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame the human tongue. James says it's never been done, because the tongue runs wild. James says it's a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God the Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women that God made in His image. Can you imagine cursings and blessings from the same tongue? And James says, this can't go on. And he's speaking to the church. Hello? A spring doesn't gush fresh water and brackish water out of the same spring, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries. Raspberry bushes don't bear apples. You're not going to dip into a polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear, cool water. It just doesn't work that way. Friends, we have to be consistent concerning the words that come out of our mouths. We can't come to church on Sunday and sing beautiful, uplifting hymns like we just did, recite wonderful, powerful prayers and creeds and scripture, letting these beautiful words flow from our mouths, and then turn around and let unkind, hateful, thoughtless words spew from our lips the rest of the week. We have to bridle that horse. We have to control that tongue, lest we be seen as hypocrites. As we said last time, the one thing that turns an unsaved world against the church is to hear professing Christians act like they have no Savior, no relationship with Jesus at all out in the world. See, our words can affirm, they can uplift, they can give life to people, or they can steal, kill, and destroy, just like Satan, Scripture tells us. They can be straight from the pit of hell when we allow our tongues to run rampant in the world. Now, I have to tell you, I searched high and low for a new illustration for this passage of Scripture. And I couldn't find one to match the old illustration. And so I'm going to use it. It might be new to some of you. Some of you may have heard it. But it's very personal. This story, this testimony of a woman and the effects of the unbridled tongues of her classmates long ago was passed to my mentor, from his mentor, from his mentor. And so the testimony of this woman has gone down for generations. You think your testimony doesn't amount to much in the world? Just take this one as an example. This testimony goes back to the days of the one-room schoolhouse. This testimony has endured, been passed from pastor to pastor to pastor, because it is a real life example, a powerful example of two things: the power of the unbridled tongue to ruin a life, and the power of Jesus Christ to redeem it and restore it. And so, once again, if you've heard it, I don't apologize. If you haven't, this will be the best story you hear all day. It's the story of Margaret. Margaret was a woman who was getting on in years, and she lived in a retirement community. All of her life, Margaret suffered from low self-esteem. Always thinking that she was never good enough, never smart enough, because as a child, the terrible power of unbridled tongues and a thoughtless teacher attacked her unmercifully. This is why James says, not all of you should be teachers. And he's not talking to us specifically, but he is talking to us specifically. Being a teacher, especially of young minds, requires a responsible attitude. When Margaret was a child, she went to school in a one-room schoolhouse in the country. She was an awkward child. She didn't seem to fit in with other children. And when she was in her fifth year of school, there was a new teacher hired, and for whatever reason, Margaret and the new teacher did not get along. And after a particularly trying day, the teacher, who was angry and frustrated with her class, and especially Margaret, told each of the 25 students in that small school to write a reason that they didn't get along with Margaret on the chalkboard. And then they were to turn and face the class and speak aloud what they had written. And so one by one, they dutifully got up from their chairs and they went to the chalkboard and they wrote things about Margaret. Margaret is ugly. Margaret is stupid. Margaret is strange. Margaret is weird. Margaret is fat. Margaret is... pick your criticism. Margaret took that cruel experience with her, those unbridled tongues, for the rest of her life. And now here she was in her declining years, living in a nursing home. And she reached out to a local pastor who visited the home on occasion. And she shared with him over a cup of coffee the things that took place in the one-room schoolhouse that day. She says, "Pastor, I can recall each one. Their face, what they wrote and said about me. It has stayed with me all of my life." Pastor listened intently, not sure what to say or how best to respond to Margaret's story. And after a long, reflective pause, the pastor finally spoke. He said, "Margaret, there's one that you left out." "No, that's not possible, Pastor. I've played it so many times in my head. I'm sure they are all accounted for. They and the mean things they wrote and said to me, each and every one, I have played it over and over every day of my life." And she closed her eyes so that she could picture them once more. "No, there's one at the back of the class, Margaret. Don't you see him? Do you see him? He's getting up from his chair and he's walking to the front of the class. Do you see him, Margaret? Now he's taking the chalk from the teacher and he's picking up the eraser from the chalkboard's ledge. Can you see him, Margaret? He's erasing all of those mean things from the board, and he's writing new things in their place, and now he is speaking those things that he has written, and he's making them true. Can't you just see him, Margaret? Can't you hear his words, Margaret? He's writing and he's speaking. Margaret is beautiful. Margaret is kind. Margaret is wonderful. Margaret is love. Do you see him, Margaret? It's Jesus." "Yes," Margaret smiled. "I see him. He's the only one who knows who I really am." You see, friends, words can be life-giving or they can steal a person's life away. They can steal a person's joy. No sooner have they left the tip of your tongue, they can rob a heart for the rest of their days. Jesus is the only way we can bridle the unbridled tongue. We can choose instead, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, to speak life into people. Instead of being critical, we can be kind. My prayer this morning is that we can all find the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us as followers of Jesus Christ to speak words of life into those that we meet today. That is my prayer. I pray it is yours also. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.